So, how did you go about serving President Bush the first that night?
I was working at an airport, Sizzlers, as a waiter and part-time bathroom attendant. Health standards were a little different then.
So what did he have to eat? What did he order?
I forget what it was really called, but we called it the Swordfish Mystery Platter. Honestly, there's not much fish in there, so much as entrails compacted into a fish fillet. Sort of like a square of leftovers. He seemed to like it, though.
Sounds tasty. So this must have been like one of those touchstone moments, like the Kennedy assassination for a lot of people. Where were you exactly when you heard the news that the president had vomited all over the prime minister of Japan?
I was throwing him back at the airport bar. It's the co-pilot, classy joint.
So how did you react? How did you feel?
Not surprised. I suspected I might be unemployed soon.
Well, what did you think happened? Any kind of Monday morning quarterbacking on what might have gone wrong with that meal?
Maybe I didn't cook it long enough. Maybe I should have washed the counters better, or maybe it was because I forgot to wash my hands. I worked in the bathroom. That it's just, it's hard to say. Now, who knows? I'm sitting there in the bar. I'm thinking Japan might remilitarize, attack the U.S., initiate World War III, bring the end of the world. And that's my fault. I gotta sleep at night with that concept. Little kids get nuked. People are melting everywhere, and I'm just like, I could have just washed my hands. Kind of asshole am I?
Of course, the world didn't come to an end in 1992. Humanity kept going, kept eating, and in their darkest hours, continues to grapple with food poisoning. And thus we have the topic of today's show, When Food Goes Bad, told in three acts. Act 1, Jet Set Diet. Act 2, Santa Land Diarrhea. And Act 3, The Silence of the Hams.
This is American. Dysentery.
Act 1, Jet Set Diet. The tale of a man obsessed with a debilitating diet. About a year ago, we sat down with Sandar Akmana at his favorite restaurant, Jet Chinese Buffet. He explained when his love affair with this sort of establishment began.
It was a wonderful, beautiful day in May, about 7 years ago. There was this alluring smell. God, it smelled so wonderful. It was like, it was as if heaven was presented in a tub of food that I could pick from under a sneeze guard.
Now, just to make sure you understand, Akmana has eaten nothing but meals from Chinese buffets for the past 7 years.
I eat there, well, usually, now I, breakfast I'm usually not conscious for, but lunch and dinner, I'll go there like at about 11 and stay there till about 3, then I'll go home till, about 6, and then I'll go eat dinner there. I usually get they have those chicken balls in various sauces. I like those. They also have fried rice. They also have crab rangoon. They also have various styles of shrimp. I love everything except those goddamn water chestnuts. I mean, God, who eats those?
And this love was key to Akmana's commitment to eating at Chinese buffets for the better part of a decade. When asked the obvious question, why, Akmana, almost reeling in shock that anyone would ask such a thing, simply replied,
I love Chinese buffet.
But this love was not necessarily reciprocated. While at the restaurant, we captured this recording of Akamana in the restroom after he bolted from the table.
Oh! Oh, God! Oh, I love Chinese buffet! Ow! Oh, God! It's coming out of me! It's coming out of me! No!
Well, that was after I had a bad spell. I think there was some undercooked chicken that I had eaten, and well, you know, it's kind of like Russian roulette, you know. There's the thrill. It comes with a price. This lifestyle of mine.
After Akamana emerged from the restroom, we again asked him why.
I love my decision. I stand by it. I mean, if I didn't eat Chinese buffet 2 times a day, I don't know what I would do with myself.
It was clear that beyond the toll it had already taken on Akamana's health, it had also deeply affected his family.
Well, they've left. They just couldn't. They were distracting me from my goals. I decided to live alone in a single apartment with a cat that also eats Chinese buffet. His name's Mr. Cuddles.
Despite the negative costs of eating exclusively at Chinese buffets, Akamana did not intend on changing its ways.
I see myself doing this every day until I'm dead. I mean, I couldn't go. I wouldn't want to live a day without eating Chinese buffet.
Where are you going after this interview?
I'm going to the Chinese buffet. Can I borrow $5? Kind of low. Really need some chicken balls.
Recently, we attempted to locate Akamana for a follow-up interview. We were shocked to learn that he had passed away. He was survived by Mr. Cuddles, whom we are told by his present owners has adjusted well to a steady diet of cat food.
I got nowhere to go, just I'm moving on my feet. People say I got no ambition. At least I give a shit about the stuff I eat.
Our next act is a seasonal favorite. However, I do need to caution that this segment acknowledges the existence of sex. With that warning out of the way, we present Act 2, David Sedaris's Santa Land Diarrhea.
I wear black leather chaps, a forest green G-string, and red velvet boots. This is my work uniform. I have spent the last several days in a small, windowless Macy's bathroom. The Christmas season means one thing, horny Santas. I had over 15 Santas come into the stall today, was witness to some magnificent explosions. A lot of it has to do with sitting in a chair for up to 12 hours straight, or so I'm told. But these Santas' bowels erupt like some ancient civilization destroying volcano. And I get paid to take it in the face. I'm Kramit the Elf. Today a Santa came into the stall and told me I had been naughty. He had a lump of coal he wanted to send down my chimney. I'm so miserable and neurotic. Occasionally I get interrupted at work. The other day, I was rooming a Santa and a young boy walked in with his father. Seeing the look of horror on the child's face, Santa quickly hiked up his red sweatpants and put his overalls back on. Ho ho ho, have you been a good boy? Tell Santa what you want for Christmas. The boy wanted a teddy bear. Most of the Santas get really into character. Today I had a Santa tell me he wanted me to sing Christmas carols while gargling his dick. I didn't think this was very fair, So I sang the carol the way Billie Holiday might have had she released a Christmas album. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to walk.
Now, Act 3, Silence of the Hams. Earlier this year, we were invited to interview the elusive nutritionist, Dr. Victor Ralston. Although he was eager to discuss his many diet foods, he was hungry for a very different sort of publicity.
Yes. My most famous product was Bopops, which was loaded with several of the best nutritional vitamins that you can get, and was also filled with a breakthrough weight loss supplement called botulism.
I know you had another product, very, very popular with busy college students that were low on budget and also didn't have much time for exercise. I know some of my friends actually swore by it. Could you talk a bit about that?
Yes. Yeah, the kids love this one, man. It's the Symbiotic Weight Loss Program. And what it is your typical microwavable cup of Nutrals with extra kick. And that happens to be nature's weight loss program, tapeworms.
Now, what are you up to these days?
I'm coming up on a board review, and I'm hoping they're going to grant me my wish for a work release.
That's right. Dr. Ralston was behind bars, convicted on multiple FDA-related violations. Undaunted, Ralston sought to continue his calling by applying for a work release program in a local pig rendering farm. Complicating Ralston's appeal was the ongoing murder investigation focusing on a previous incident at his lab. Detective Clark Wayne had been spearheading the Ralston cases.
I was the arresting officer of Dr. Victor Ralston. He had numerous FDA violations for horribly toxic foods that he had allowed under his watchful eye to be pushed like drugs onto the consumers of America's supermarkets. I was personally investigating some fishy circumstances around a lab accident. Shortly before Ralston's trial, there was evidence in the lab destroyed. One of his lab assistants was dead. His damn left pinky was missing. Nobody could figure out what the hell that was all about. But roughly around that time, they were working on a movie tie-in breakfast cereal. And the rumor is that someone earlier that week had found a left pinky in the marshmallow mix. We don't know. DNA tests still haven't come back on that, but we're pretty sure that that is the missing pinky we're looking for.
As it turned out, Dr. Ralston would not get his wish, citing not only the nature of his crimes, but also the mounting evidence collected against him in the murder investigation by Detective Wayne. The work release board denied his application. Ralston would not be processing any pigs. Our program was produced by Doug. Our senior producer is Doug. Our website is maintained by Doug. Musical help today from Doug. Special help on Act 3 from Doug. Our website, www.radiodysentery.com. This American Dysentery is distributed by Doug Public Radio. This American Dysentery is brought to you by Bopops. When you get a Bopop, it ends up outside of you. Our producer, Doug, want you to know,
I'm so miserable and neurotic.